Put your hand on your heart. Father, we ask right now you would pour in your Spirit into our hearts. Oh, just drink in, because, you know, I just loved drinking this morning. It was good. I love the Scriptures. I love Isaiah 55, where he says, if any man, you know, and the great feast, Jesus even, he was quoting Isaiah 55. He says, if anyone is hungry, let him drink. If anyone's thirsty, well, actually, if he's hungry, let him eat. But if he's thirsty, let him drink. And so, Father, we drink right now. We say, yes, we're drinking as we start this fast today. We're drinking from the living water. We're drinking from your well of life. Let it just go deep inside of you. Just the river of God pour out upon you. Let it just, right now, take it. Yeah, take more of his presence today. More of your love, Lord. Enlarge and expand. Expand our hearts. We choose to drink from the God of life, from the God of the ruler of this. Really, he's the ruler of the world, and it's not the enemy. God rules. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Everything is of the Lord. The enemy thinks he's got rights, but he's got no rights. You know, we call him the prince of the air, but you know what? God controls the air. He's given him a short leash. That's all. So, Father, we just rely and we take in all that you have, Jesus, for us. Yeah. Okay, we're not going to be concerned about that. Maybe start it up again or something. Okay, let me just go through some of the notes really quickly. The process of praying and fasting. The first thing is going to be today's Thanksgiving, really. We're going to thank God for the 6 years. We're going to go through those notes. But let me just give you just a little quick thing that Naomi actually put together in the School of Champions many moons ago. The process of praying and fasting, it subdues our fleshly desires. It's kind of like allowing God to just come, and we're giving him time and space, you know, where we're not influenced by anything else. We're just saying, hey, we're dedicating this time. Now, prayer and fast, you know, that can mean a whole bunch of things. There's different kinds of fasts. There's different kinds of ways to pray. And so we're going to kind of leave that in your court as to how you do that. But it's really to draw us closer to intimacy, isn't it? It really draws closer to Jesus. It's a period, it's a time that we're dedicating for deeper intimacy and to bring spiritual matters, you know, into clearer focus. So we're saying, hey, kingdom of God, we want to see you reign. We want to see things happen. We want to see and bring that into focus. Help us, you know, tune out of the things so that we can tune in into what God wants us to tune into, kind of thing. You know where I'm going with that. So that's kind of the idea. So it's temporarily abstaining from foods. It could be media. It could be whatever you want. But I'm going to encourage you to abstain from something so that you can dedicate time. So it's tuning out to tune in, kind of thing, in that sense. So if you spend an hour playing sports, maybe spend a half hour and dedicate a half hour, you know, to prayer, especially as we've got the list here on a daily basis. So it's focusing and entering into God and more. Are we okay with that PowerPoint or no? Okay, that's fine. We'll see if we can make it work. Now this is a corporate fast, so it's a church fast. It's us. What does God say about fasting? There's Isaiah 58, 22-9, and Matthew 16. Jesus talks about fast. But you know what? I'm mindful of time, so I'm going to read maybe let me just read, you know, what comes to my mind really quick is Joel, the prophet Joel, maybe chapter 3. So find Joel if you have it. There we go. You know, Joel, it's an amazing thing because Joel, you know, the prophet Joel, he talks about Pentecost, really. He's, you know, Joel is talking about Acts 2, Joel 2. And I remember once the Lord saying to me, like I was at a conference with John Wimber, and John Wimber was talking about Joel 2 or the book of Joel, and I decided, you know what, I'm just going to read it all. He asked us to read, you know, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on the holy hill, let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. And I felt like he was telling us, like it was an opening night of a conference, and he said, hey, I want you to read Joel and prepare your heart. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to read it all. And then I remember coming to verse 12 of chapter 2. Rend your hearts. Now, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from seeing calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate. You know, this is coming to me spontaneously, by the way, just so you know. The assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride his chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. And you can continue to read it. I felt a number of years ago, just so you know, as a pastor, I felt a number of years ago the Lord say to, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, if you give us a building, this was just my time with him, I said, I will covenant and make a vow to make it a house of prayer. And it's amazing that Patricia Bootsma, you know, is leading up our house of prayer at the airport campus. But I just feel like there's probably something in regards to this place being a house of prayer as well. I don't know what that looks like. It doesn't have to be, you know, maybe everything is spectacular in God's eyes and his economy. You know, anything you do for the kingdom. You know, I like to see the little things as spectacular as well. But what I mean is it doesn't have to start out with, you know, 3 hours or 10 hours of prayer. It can start off with half an hour. And then it can just mushroom into whatever it wants to or just grow as it wants to grow. But I'd love to see worship in this place. I know Naomi has dreams as well about certain things and reaching out to the community and stuff. But I'd love to see just us, who's ever available, come like in the morning, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or whenever, and just, you know, just dedicate that time to prayer and just pray for our cities and stuff. Prayer and fasting, oftentimes it's to kind of tune into God and hear his concern in his heart for relationships, for the needs of the poor. There's a big connection with praying and how it and fasting and how it relates to poor. And that's something that we probably want to do as a ministry as well, in terms of Naomi's starting to talk. We're just starting to dream, and this is your dream as well. It's not, you know, we're corporately dreaming together. Naomi's thinking of, you know, hosting a meal for widows and single moms, and just providing a lunch for them, and just having a place to gather and stuff. You know, there is some concern with poor amongst our own midst. You know, we were able to raise $23,000, but I know that folks in our church here are concerned about our own people, our own family, meeting the needs of them as well. And I think there's a connection with praying and fasting. And so I'd love to see the windows open in this church financially in such a way that no one in this congregation, no one at all, goes away from here hungry. You know, there is. I mean, I have food coupons ready to give away today because there are folks in our midst who are hungry. And, you know, we can enjoy everything else and, you know, just have a great time. But there are folks who are going to be leaving this place, believe it or not, at Glenway, and needs some help. And so we're gonna try to help them in his best. But I would love it if God would just open the doors in such a way that there wouldn't even be a need. You know, it'd be just like Corinthians where it says, you know, we would have more than enough for ourselves. God would supply our needs and a little bit for others as well. So we'd have that heart. And so fasting helps to do that. It helps us, you know, come into a place where we can provide for other people's needs. It helps us actually not to accuse people as well. You know, the body sometimes is full of all kinds of stuff. I mean, I look at my own children and I see the bickering and all that kind of stuff that goes on with them and the fights. Man, just Friday, you know, before we went to that Argos game, we went to Argos, and it was an amazing game, by the way. You know, we listened to the Argos players after. Butch, you were there, Pat, and you were there, and we listened to three Argo players just testify about Jesus. It was amazing. But my two, I won't mention their names because I'm going to hear about this, but anyhow, they were fighting over bobby pins. Like, you know, and, oh, those are my bobby pins. And I'm thinking, oh, goodness. Bobby pins. So imagine all the stuff that goes in the church, you know, goes around, you know. Kids are fighting over bobby pins. What are we fighting over in the church, you know? I mean, that person didn't look at me Sunday morning or whatever, you know. And fasting helps. Helps us kind of not be at each other a little bit, believe it or not. It helps us to follow the ways of God, and it helps us to be discreet and humble as well. Now, there's a lot of biblical examples of fasting, and I don't even want to go into many of the stories. I mean, Daniel, you know, even before I knew what a Daniel fast was, the Lord had already put me on a Daniel fast. And it didn't happen, it wasn't just 21 days. I felt the Lord was saying, you know, I want you to just eat fruits and vegetables. And 1 year, that ended up being over a year for me, actually. I started with fruits and vegetables, and I liked it so much that I continued with fruits and vegetables. And boy, the waistline sure got thin. I mean, but I would suggest if you're going to do something of that nature, you probably need to check it out with your doctor as well and see if, because my wife helped me. She says, yeah, but you can't do that. You know, she's a nutritionist. What's the word? Did I say the right thing? Okay. She's up on nutrition, that's what I put it that way. And she says, but you've got to have your vit. You've got to have this. You've got to have that. And so she helped me kind of balance it all out. But for a whole year, I did that. And I felt really great. There was a lot of breakthroughs. And there was major breakthroughs in our lives. Esther. You see Esther for the nation of Israel. She calls a corporate fast. And what happens? You know the story, Mordecai and the whole bit. You see the fruit of that. Even Jonah for Nineveh. Jesus fasts in the desert 40 days and you see victory come through. I know maybe some of us haven't even given fasting a thought or a try, but let me encourage you, you know, if you can do it, it would be great. Paul and Barnabas. They were commissioned by the elders to the work of the Lord through fasting and prayer. When do we fast? Well, first we've got to hear the Holy Spirit tell us it's time to fast. You got to be Spirit-led in fasting, I believe. It's just not, you know, something that you want to do. What does fasting accomplish? Well, fasting accomplishes, and I've got all the scriptures here, you know, but I'm for the sake of time. Fasting accomplishes something before the Lord that is amazing. You're actually ministering to Jesus. Did you realize that? When you fast, you're ministering to Jesus. And that's what I want to do. I want to minister to Jesus. You know, He actually likes us ministering to Him. Have you ever thought of that? Like, you know, you're coming forward, you're going to, you know, people are laying hands on you, and you're, but Jesus actually likes to be ministered to. You know, the whole thought behind that is major and huge, because I don't even want to tell you in terms of the ancients and the Greek philosophy and the Greek thoughts on God. You know, God doesn't need anything. There's a term, there's a theological term that says, you know, God doesn't need anything, or else He wouldn't be God. I don't even want to tell you the term because it's too... Anyways, we're not moving into theological terms. But the thing is, I think God is full of compassion, though. And God does cry. And God does have a heart. And God, you know, so God loves it when you sit down with Him and you say, Jesus, what could I do for you today? How would I bless your heart today, Jesus? What would you like? How would you like me to minister to you today? Have you ever thought of that? The guy who's coming next week, Tony Palmer, actually he used to be the rep for the UK for Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's ministry. Good friends. He's good friends of theirs. And he was telling me a story, because he's got another connection with Smith Wigglesworth. And he was telling me, Smith Wigglesworth used to get up in the morning and used to, the first thing, he wouldn't even put his requests before the Lord. He would just say, Jesus, what can I do for you today? What do you want from me? Or is there anything that you need done? Is there anything that I can help you with? I think that's ministering unto the Lord. And I think, you know, as we fast and pray, maybe bear that in mind and say, hey, what could we do for you? I know it's a specific fast for a building, for us to get through with the owner and make, you know, this thing happen. But take it beyond that, would you? Would you take it beyond that and just say, hey, Jesus, you know, this is my time, your time that I'm dedicating, my time that I'm dedicating to you. And if you go off somewhere, that's fine. I mean, I give bless you and give you permission to do that with all your heart. There's things that, you know, on a national level, not just on, you know, just a local level, but there's things on a national level too that, you know, you can be fasting about for our nation as well. There's challenges. Right now we've got the challenge of making this happen. Yeah, we haven't signed the deal yet. I know Steve is saying, you know, we've got a building. We believe we got a building. But until, you know, it's dotted on the, you know, it's going to take 20 days from when we submit the application for the town of Newmarket to get back to us, to know whether we even have occupancy. And then the question is, in between that time, if they get back to us, or do we wait the 20 days and then they say, well, you're non-compliant in this. You're not, you know, and then we have to, you know, address those issues and, you know, whatever, right? Isn't that how it works? And so we're hoping that there aren't that many issues. We want to be in there in December. But the other thing I was told, and you can't even actually meet in the building. It would be illegal for us to go in there without occupancy. We have to at least have a conditional occupancy. And then, so I'm kind of looking at it, let's just aim for occupancy right now. Let's fast, you know, today. Let's pray and say, God, let us have occupancy first. Then we'll deal with those other things, you know, the doors or whatever, the extra room and all that. You know, we need wheelchair accessibility. It's an upper floor, right? Yeah, elevators. We had some other thoughts, a really good thought, and we're going to throw everything on the table. We're going to do our very best to get what is best for us. I'll carry you up, Elizabeth, on my back. I will bring you upstairs. Hopefully I have wings to do that. Would be nice. But, you know, we just need to get you up in the meeting so that you can get healed and walked out. And walk out on your own. Is that good? Actually, why don't someone pray for her right now? Is that okay? Pray for her, April. Do you mind? Just bless her, yeah. In fact, last week, it was amazing. She met with that United Church group, and she just said amazing. They were asking her questions. It was just amazing. Like, you know. So let the Lord increase you and bless you, Elizabeth, abundantly. With wisdom, you know, if you have any health problems, please, before you start, you can pray, but if you can go see the doctor, if there's any issues you're not sure about, make an appointment so that you're okay. We want the right motive in our heart, you know, and the right attitude. We want to be full of humility and purity in our heart when we fast. We want to say, okay, God, purify us, cleanse us, let us do the right thing. We don't want to be fasting out of selfish motive or ambition or whatever. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." So the idea is that we're going to be earnestly seeking Him. So we are already choosing to do a 1 week fast. We know the length of it. We know the purpose of it. If you plan during this fast, let's say, to dedicate 1 hour to the Lord, to read, like, you can break it up in many ways. I got this amazing program, or actually it's not a program, but CBN daily sends me an email, and I go through the Bible in a year with CBN, and they give me, and I love this format. It goes through the Old Testament and the New Testament in chronological order. So I'll read 6 chapters of Isaiah, 1 to 6, and then tomorrow it'll be 7 to 12, and then the 1 Timothy, you know, same idea, and I do that every day with CBN, and it sends an email to me, and I just click it, and I even got it. It's got an audio, too, New Living Translation. It's amazing. Sign up for it. It's incredible. Because I remember doing, like, you know, these things, you know, you might even have one of those Bibles, you know, open Bible kind of thing, you know, daily devotional, or 1 year, read the Bible from cover to cover. But, you know, you'd read like 3 chapters in, you know, amongst the prophets, and 3 in the history books, and 3 in Proverbs, and it's just, you're all over the place. But this CBN is really good. And so I encourage you to look that up if that's what you desire. But I just kind of love it. Naomi turned me on to that. So spend some time just before the Lord. And if you get anything, you know, write it down. Send us a note as well. If you get something for the church during this time as well. So now, we're going to go to our page right now. We're going to stand. Is that all right? Sunday, October 23. Today. Thanksgiving. We're going to start with Thanksgiving. And I'm just going to go through this so you know. So we're going to do this corporately. Even if you choose not to fast, I'm going to ask that you would pray at least with us. So today, when you go home, you know, after you've had your Sunday meal and stuff, and, you know, you're ready for that nap, maybe before or after, whatever, just thank the Lord for where He's taken us these last 6 years. In fact, right now, get over there with your neighbors somehow and just start to thank Him. I'm going to thank Jesus for the wonderful 6 years that we've had so far. We just thank You for this congregation. Thank You how You've attended, and we've been able to minister unto You, Lord. You've been good. We've sang it today. You're so, so good. So good to us in so many ways. And there's an accompanying scripture there. Psalm 26:7, it just says, you know, the voice of thanksgiving, and I'll tell Your wonderful works. I just want to tell about the wonderful works. There was folks saved in this church, you know. There was folks who came to Jesus here. There was folks that were healed and delivered in this place through the body. Folks were fed in this place. People were sent out to the nations out of this place. We made impact on the community. We sowed into the community. Did you know in the last 6 years we've given to other churches? We've blessed other churches. We've blessed people. There's always room to do more. But we've done what the Lord has put on our hearts, and we're just so thankful for how He's given us that ability. You know, the psalmist says that the very breath of God gives you the ability to do things. It's His wisdom. He pours it out upon us in such a way that we can just give to others and give it in an amazing way. So tomorrow, Monday, we're going to pray that God, right now, actually, why don't we get in a little group right now, and this is what we'll do. We'll just pray that God would enlarge it. Get your sheet here. And we're going to ask God to start to enlarge. And actually, I think it was Jill, it was you this morning, you started praying into this whole area. And it just came. Yeah, that's what we're going to do today, actually. We're going to talk about enlarging. I love that scripture, you know, about Isaiah, in Isaiah, where, you know, extend the tent pegs. So start to extend the tent pegs. Paul, you can do it with your wife there. Just say, hey, tomorrow, Ralph, we're asking right now even as you pray tomorrow, but even now to begin to extend the area of influence, your capacity to have more of Him. Shabbataba. I love that. I love it. Enlarges all that you have more of Him, that you can contain more of Him. More of Jesus, more of His presence, more of His love poured upon you in such an amazing way. Father, I ask that You would bless Ralph and Evelyn in such a way, in their mind, in their spirit, in their body, physically, Lord, that they would just have that capacity to drink You in every facet, in every sphere of their being, Lord. Everything just would be enlarged, even more. Shabarabakanda. Yeah, more. The place of Your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of Your dwelling. Lengthen Your cords and strengthen Your stakes. Shabbataba. When you think of that, you think of the tabernacle, you know, and how they stretched out the tabernacle for His presence. And now we're just stretching. Actually, physically you can even do that. You know, we stretch that out on you, Ralph. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Stretch that tent over you. Stretch it out so that you can have more of God. More of His presence upon you. Shara. Yeah, take it more, 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 more. This is what we're after, Lord. We want more of You, more of Your presence, more of Your love. You are amazing. Shandarabakandarabashia. Amen. Okay, we're going to move on to the next thing. Okay, I'm just going to read this. Romans 12, 9 to 13. Just stay where you are. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing, there it is, look, prayer, and you guys, this is a theme, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Man, maybe that's what it is. This is an amazing thing. You know that we give bread to 4 different churches. Last night, Naomi and I went to, with the bishop that just flew in from Italy, we went to go get bread, Naomi and I. Alex, I don't know, was it you last night? Yeah, you got the bread last night. We had some, I had my uncle. I even take my neighbor, who's not even a believer. I said, would you like to go pick up bread for us? And he goes to deliver it to the airport. He's not even a believer. He doesn't even know he's going to get filled with His Spirit, even doing it. I just believe it. We have Oakville. We've got other ones that are just waiting for us to say, yes, we'll take it. And we can't find enough volunteers, so... I've kind of held that off. So if you please connect with Alex, because this bread is going to bring life. I mean, not just, you know, to your physical being, but there's something more. And so start to pray right now. Pray these things into each other. Like, I believe in prayer that goes right in. Right into you, Bob. I believe prayer goes in, doesn't it? Look what it says in Romans. So we can pray this. Hope. Be kindly affectionate. Father, pour out your affection upon him. Shoo. Oh, shandaraba. Fervency. Pray for fervency in spirit. What does that mean? What does that look like? Shoo. But we bless Bob in the name of Jesus to be fervent in spirit, Lord. Yeah, just pray for fervency and hope. Pour hope into our hearts right now. We just bless Jill right now in Jesus' name. Go deep inside, Lord, and put hope. Some of us sometimes feel hopeless in some things, and so we just break that off you now in Jesus' name. And there's hope. There's hope in you, Garth. The living God lives in you and dwells in you. And oh, yeah, just take more and more of his presence in you. There's hope for that next thing that you've got, that next project, the next thing that you feel the Lord is, he's going to give you stamina. He's going to pour in for that mission. Bless Nathan and Renee in that mission, because, you know, times there's going to be discouraging times and challenges and things like that. And he just wants to fill us with hope. Fill us with hope. Look, 3 years we were searching for a building. We could have lost it, basically, you know. But there's hope. There's hope. Pour it into our spirits, Lord. Let hope just come in. Some of us have been through some things, but you know what? God is incredible. Let me have your attention for a second. The other day someone just asked me, what time is it? Okay, we got a couple more minutes. Someone asked me, well, Lord, you know, someone asked me, says, what's going on? We're getting battered by this and hit by that. We're faithful. We're tithing. We're doing everything, you know, that we know to do. And yet the enemy's having a heyday. What's going on? And I don't know how to answer that question really well, to be honest with you. But I love what John, he's encouraged me, John Arnott, our founding pastor, along this journey. And he says, Bruno, he says, it's God's training in you. He's perfecting character in you. He's doing it, you know, it hasn't been a joy ride. It's been, you know, there's been a few bumps on the road and along the way. But God becomes God through the process in your life. And I always go back to Paul, and we can think of Jesus and what he had to go through. And some would say, you know what? Well, Jesus paid the price. We don't have to go through that stuff. Well, then what about Paul? What about Paul? Shipwrecked a night, or how many nights? And imprisoned and beaten and stoned and whipped and out the sea. Imagine us staying on that log, freezing cold all night. So why? Why does God allow that if he loves you so much? I'm not sure I have all the answers, but I'll tell you one thing. I know that if my heart is right in those moments, he's going to take me to the next level. He's going to bring me to the next place. And sometimes he won't even take me to that next place until I get it right where I'm at. He's got so much more in store, but I'm just, you know, groping and moaning and complaining and like the Israelites in the desert about, you know, this and that. And God says, I've got the Jordan. I've got the promised land for you. Would you ever get out of there? And so, Father, test our hearts. We give you permission, but we want more of your presence. We want more of you. The next thing is taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So pour trust in each other, shall you? Will you? Father, we just ask trust to overwhelm, a deep trust, and that we would be able to taste your goodness and see it, be able to testify of your goodness. May our lips just forever testify of how great you are, how great you are. How wonderful you are. How great you are. There was one more thing. I did respond by this when we were asked the question this week, or I was asked the question. I did say this. I remember this. I remember, we don't know what could have came our way. You know what I mean? The Lord could have spared us from tons of stuff. So we can be complaining about the little things, but you know what? A major thing could have came in our lives, and God held it back. A major thing. So we're in a wonderful place, folks. We're just in an amazing place, you know, in this day and hour. Next, vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish, but happy is he who keeps the law. We need vision for this church. We need vision for our future. We need vision for our children. We need vision for everything we do in regards to this place. And I got a feeling, you know, as soon as we get that building and our sign is up there, all of a sudden now we're on the church list. You know, we've been on the church list for 6 years in terms of relationship. But now, you know, everyone in town is, oh, they really mean business. You know, it just puts us at a different place in the spirit and everywhere else. And so it's just going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing having Friday nights in that youth room, you know. By the way, we can't even fit a pool table in there. We're just kind of like, okay, it's going to be tough. So, next one, courage. Pray for opportunity. Ask the Father of your faith. Ask Daddy God to open doors and windows in front of you. Things that would be impossible otherwise, that his favor, pray favor over each other right now. Father, I just pray favor over each other right now in Jesus' name. Favor to come upon us right now. Favor upon our children. Favor upon the youth and the children. Courage to walk through open doors. Because when the doors open, you're going to need courage. Isn't that amazing that he says, be bold to Joshua and Caleb before they went to the promised land. He says, be bold. Take courage. Because it was huge. It was a huge thing. And we need boldness to walk through it and not to back and quiver, you know, and back down, but boldness. Oh, Shunda. Favor will open the doors. Courage will help us to walk through those doors. Isn't that amazing? Fruitfulness. Ask Father to make you fruitful, to multiply all you put your hand to do. Not just add to your life, but to multiply, growing exponentially, personally and corporately. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Those whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. He shall prosper. Father, I want to prosper in everything I do. I want our church to prosper. I want everyone in this church to prosper abundantly in Jesus' name. Pour out. Oh, and this amazing one, next Sunday, the coronation. He is crowned king. Let's praise him for the coronation. Come, why don't you, actually, let's all stand. Could you guys come up? And let's just end with that song. I know I've gone a little bit over time, but I just, he is good. We want to crown him. I want you to take a crown in your hand, shall you? This is what you're going to do. I want you to take a huge crown, like this just amazing, jeweled, amazing crown of from the king. You know, he's given it to you. I want you to picture something right now. I want you to take this crown and place it on the king. So now it's your time to give it to Jesus because he's amazing. He deserves it, doesn't he? I know we've talked about how good he is to me, and it seemed like, you know, as wonderful as it is, because we're bathed in his love, but I want to take it another level. I want to take it now where I'm giving back to Jesus, because he deserves it, kind of thing. And I love those songs, you know, where he says, oh, he's poured out his love. Oh, it's just amazing. It feels so good. But now, Jesus, I'm taking this crown in my hand and I want to put it on you. Thank you for the honor for doing that. the ability to do that. Whatever it takes, Lord, you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I stand at your feet, Lord. I throw that crown before you at your feet, and I pick it up and I place it on your head. Oh, and I know what was and what is to come is for you and for your glory. Yeah. Shall we? So take that crown.